It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy! Hello, hello, hello! Welcome, welcome, one and all. It is Tuesday, November 22nd, 2022. Sorry about yesterday. One of the problems having days off at work is if I'm off from work, I totally space about news to me because I'm like, oh, I'm not working today. And it takes me a second to realize, oh yeah, I should be doing a show. So sorry about that. Sorry, Tobe and everybody, I missed that all day yesterday. And actually, tonight is a special night. I'm drinking all my strong beers and gonna record 4 shows all today because I'm going out of town Tuesday around, oh, probably 1800 UTC. We'll see, because I'll let you in on a secret. Shh. All of the car rental places were used up, like all the cars were gone or they're closed, but it's supposed to rain all week, so I don't want to ride my motorcycle because it'll be freezing my ass off and be wet. I'll probably get sick if I do it, so I'm going to rent a U-Haul truck and just drive it down to my family's house. It's only about 150 miles away, and the U-Haul cost is just about the same as the regular car rental cost. I think it ends up being like $30 more than I was going to pay. So, anyway, in other news, I am on my computer that has all of my sounds.
That's correct.
Oh man, it's been months, but I finally found them. I put them on the Nextcloud, and so you'll be able to hear all of the cool sounds.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Mm-hmm.
Resistance.
So anyway, that's enough of that. Let's go ahead and talk about some news. Today on Tuesday is probably going to be the freshest news we have all week. Indonesia, Java quake kills scores and injures hundreds. An earthquake on the main Indonesian island of Java has killed scores of people and injured hundreds, officials say. The 5.6 magnitude quake struck Cianjur town in West Java at a shallow depth of only 10 kilometers, according to U.S. Geological Survey data. Scores of people were taken to hospital, with many treated outside. Rescuers have worked through the night to try to save others thought to still be trapped under collapsed buildings. The area where the quake struck is densely populated and prone to landslides, with poorly built houses reduced to rubble. The exact number of people killed so far remains unclear. Indonesia's National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BNPB, has said their official death toll was 62, adding that another figure given by regional governor Ridwan Kamil of 162 remains unverified. Speaking to local media, Mr. Kamil said some 326 people had been injured in the quake, noting that most of them sustained fractures from being crushed in ruins. But he warned some residents remain trapped in isolated places. This is North Coast Brewing Co. Independent brewing since 1988. Brother Thelonious, Belgian-style Abbey Ale. The West Java governor added that more than 13,000 people had been displaced by the disaster, and the BNPB said more than 2,200 homes had been damaged by the quake. Herman Suerman, the head of administration in Cianjur town, said most injuries were bone fractures sustained from people being trapped by debris. The ambulances keep on coming from the villages to the hospitals. Many of the injured were treated outside in a hospital car park. So, after the hospital was left without power for several hours following the quake. So that's really sad there. I'll let you know if there's any updates next week. I will let you know. If you want to check out a map, go to tx0.org/1fi. That's tangoxray0.org/1foxtrotindia. That has a map that shows where the epicenter of the earthquake was in relation ship to West Java and how far away Bandung and Jakarta is. So anyway, I found this map helpful. And you know I'm a big fan of maps. So, all right. In China, a factory blaze has killed at least 38 people. A fire at a factory in the Chinese city of Anyang in Hunan province, has killed 38 people. State media People's Daily reported on Tuesday. The fire started at 1622 local time, which is 0822 GMT on Monday, at Kaixinda, K-A-I-X-I-N-D-A, so I'm not sure the proper pronunciation, Kaixinda Trading, in the city's high-tech district, and was completely extinguished around 11 p.m., according to local government release. The notice also said police had detained a suspect. Two other people had been hospitalized. So, just a heads up, pretty tragic, or pretty big fire happened there. Going on with mass murders. One dead and 16 injured after SUV slams into Massachusetts Apple Store. An SUV crashed through the front window of an Apple Store Monday in Massachusetts, killing one person and injuring 16 others, authorities say. Police were investigating, but didn't immediately say whether the crash was accidental or not. Hingham Police Chief David Jones said only that it was an active investigation. The driver of a 2019 Toyota 4Runner was being interviewed. This morning was an unthinkable morning, and people are trying to get through it and process what happened, Plymouth District Attorney Timothy Cruz said at a news conference. The victim was identified by law enforcement as Kevin Bradley, 65, of New Jersey. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Cruz didn't say whether the driver would be charged with a crime, but added that a criminal investigation was underway. Officials haven't released the identity of the driver. Apple released a statement saying it was devastated by the shocking events at Apple Derby Street today, the tragic loss of a professional who was on-site supporting recent construction of the store. Our hearts go to our team members and customers who were injured and all those who were affected by this terrible incident. A large hole gaped in the front in the storefront window as first responders worked at the scene of the crash shortly before 11 a.m. The store, which is in the Derby Street Shops, had been scheduled to open about an hour before the crash. So, I guess that's a way of saying they were open an hour before the crash. Man. Alright, well, don't worry. Death and destruction's not the only way that you can suffer and then die. In Mali, at least 150,000 displaced children have no legal identity. The Norwegian Refugee Council has said nearly 150,000 displaced children by conflict in Mali do not have birth certificates and are at risk of exclusion and disenfranchisement because they can't prove their identity. Thousands of children are excluded from society when they should be in school, said McLean Natugasha, NRC's director for Mali, in a statement released by the NGO to AFP. These 148,000 children are among 422,600 people displaced by war in Mali, according to August figures from a joint UN and Malian monitoring tool. In this country of about 20 million people, 7.5 million are in need of emergency humanitarian assistance, according to the UN. These 148 children have lost their birth certificates when they fled their home or never had them because of the limited functioning of civil registry services. Just all in all, it's just very, very sad. Sad times indeed. Before we change gears, I want to remind you that the Dubious Goals Committee airs at 19:30 UTC every goddamn day. And so stick around for that in 20 minutes or so. We've got that going on. And it's worthwhile. Stick around. See what's happening. So, anyway.
get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Hey! My old friend is here. I still don't like to hear him because I'm trying to read the news, buddy. Leave me alone. Let's talk about something cool. High-tech, not death and destruction. Space chiefs are to investigate whether electricity could be beamed wirelessly from space into millions of homes. The European Space Agency will this week approve a 3-year study to see if having huge solar farms in space could work and be cost-effective. Imagine that. That would be so cool. Sci-fi future. The eventual aim is to have a giant satellites in orbit, each able to generate the same amount of electricity as a power station. ESA's governing council is to consider the idea at its Paris HQ on Tuesday. While several organizations and other space agencies have looked into the idea, the so-called Solaris Initiative would be the first to lay the ground for a practical plan to develop a space-based renewable energy generation system. The program is one of the number of proposals being considered by research ministers at the ESA's council, ESA, that's Echo Sierra Alpha, council meeting in Paris, which will decide the budget for the next phase of the space agency plans for space exploration, environmental monitoring, and communications. Joseph Aschbacher, who is ESA's director general, told BBC News that he believed that solar power from space could be of enormous help to address future energy shortages. We do not need to convert into carbon-neutral economies and therefore change the way we produce energy and especially reduce the fossil fuel part of our energy production, he said. If you can do it from space, and I'm saying if we could because we're not there yet, this would absolutely be fantastic because it would solve a lot of problems. Satellites with solar panels would need to be around 1.7 kilometers long, more than double the size of the world's tallest building and an order of magnitude bigger than the current largest structure in space, the International Space Station, or ISS. The sun's energy can be collected much more efficiently in space because there's no light, there's no nighttime or clouds. The idea has been around for more than 50 years, but it has been too difficult and too expensive to implement. The game changer has been the plummeting cost of launches thanks to reusable rockets and other innovations developed by the private sector. ESA is seeking funds from its member nations for a research program it calls Solaris to see if these developments mean it's now possible to develop space-based solar power, which would be pretty darn cool.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
You know what? We've got our sound equipment. We've got all of our setup the way that, you know, our setup that we had for years. So I guess that means, hey, let's go ahead and play some music. We'll play a short song today, or at least not super long. But I'm in a jazzy mood, thanks to my bottled bebop. This Brother Thelonious Ale, the proper name for it, is called Bottled Bebop. So let's see if we've got any bebop in our music here. It sure looks like it. This song is called Lonely Planet from Genova 7.
Before the cylinder fell, there was a general persuasion that through all the deepness of space, no life existed. Thank you.
Anon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF. And SDF, well, that, my friend, is powered by you. So thank you so much for being here and hanging out and having a good time with us. It is just about halfway through the show. We've got about 13 minutes to go before the Dubious Skills Committee with Tobe. And on Tuesdays, we've got a wonderful show called Internet Noises that happens right after the Dubious Skills Committee. So stick around for all of that. Hang out and calm. And big shout out to Tobe and DJ Snowdusk. It was an amazing show. And everybody in calm, thank you for being there and hanging out. So,
world news. World news.
Did I forget to play that sound? I feel like I did, but it's okay. Let's jump on in and let's talk about some technology news. First, federal funding for Diablo Canyon, but not for Palisades. What are we talking about? That's right, we're talking about nuclear stuff. The Diablo Canyon Nuclear Power Plant has been selected by the U.S. Department of Energy, or the DOE, to receive credits worth up to $1.1 billion U.S. to enable the two-unit plant to remain in operation. But Holtec International's application for federal funding to allow it to restart the Palisades nuclear plant has been unsuccessful. The Civil Nuclear Credit Program is a $6 billion U.S. Strategic investment through the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law to help keep the USA's existing reactor fleet in operation. The two units at Diablo Canyon in California have been scheduled to be commissioned in 2024, Unit 1, and 2025, Unit 2. A decision reached several years ago at a time when California saw its energy future based on renewables, efficiency, and storage. But the state's lawmakers earlier this year voted overwhelmingly in favor of a bill that would enable the state's only nuclear power plant to remain in operation for up to 5 years longer. We talked about this a few months back, but essentially this one power plant provides a significant portion. I want to say it was 10%, but it might be less. But anyway, it was a significant portion of power for the state. The conditional award of credits creates a path forward for Diablo Canyon, which produces around 16 gigawatt hours of electricity annually, about 15% of California. Oh, there it is, 15% of California's clean energy. DOE has said it saves about 1,500 clean energy jobs. The announcement came after Holtec International announced its bid for funding to reopen the Palisades plant in Michigan had been unsuccessful. The plant closed down in May after more than 50 years in operation. Holtec agreed in 2018 to purchase the plant for decommissioning from Operator Energy, completing the acquisition in June. In July, Holtec, with the support of Governor Gretchen Whitmer, submitted an application for funding under the CNC program in July. Holtec said the news was unfortunate and shared a statement from Pat O'Brien, Director of Government Affairs and Communications for Holtec International. "We fully understood that what we were attempting to do, restarting a shuttered nuclear plant, would both be a challenge and a first for the nuclear energy industry," he said. "While the DOE's decision is not the outcome we'd hoped for, we entered this process committed to working with our federal, state, and community partners to see if the plant could be repowered to return to service as a provider of safe, reliable, carbon-free generation." So, we'll see. Maybe they do find some kind of funding somewhere, but Publius is out there in comm. He can advocate for this, but really, if we want a carbon neutral or we want to stop using carbon fuel, plutonium is out there and available for us. All right, Amazon. You know, billionaires losing money is not something I lose sleep over. And if Amazon burned to the ground overnight, I would not shed a tear. Amazon Alexa is a colossal failure, on pace to lose $10 billion this year, according to Ars Technica. Amazon is going through the biggest layoffs in the company's history right now, with a plan to eliminate some 10,000 jobs. One of the area's hardest hit is the Amazon Alexa voice assistant unit, which is apparently falling out of favor with the e-commerce giant. It's according to a report from Business Insider, which details the swift downfall of the voice assistant in Amazon's larger hardware division. Alexa's been around for 10 years and has been a trailblazing voice assistant that was copied quite a bit by Google and Apple. Alexa never managed to create an ongoing revenue stream, though. Man. A good strong Belgian ale. Or, excuse me, Abbey-style ale. Belgian-style Abbey ale. Man. What a wonderful thing. Thank you, Belgium. Anyway, the report says that while Alexa's Echo line is among the best-selling items on Amazon, most of the devices are sold at cost. One internal document described the business model by saying, "We want to make money when people use our devices, not when they buy the devices." The plan never really materialized, though. It's not like Alexa plays ad breaks after you use it. So the hope was that people would buy things on Amazon via their voice. Not many people want to trust an AI with spending their money or buying an item without seeing a picture or reading reviews. The report says that by year 4 of the Alexa experiment, Alexa was getting 1 billion interactions a week, but most of those conversations were trivial commands to play music or ask about weather. And those questions aren't monetizable. Amazon also tried to partner with companies for Alexa skills, so a voice command could buy a Domino's pizza or call Uber, and Amazon would get a kickback. The report says by 2020, the team stopped posting sales targets because of lack of use. The team also tried to paint Alexa as a halo product with users who are more likely to spend at Amazon, even if they're not shopping by voice. But studies of that theory found that the financial contribution of those users often fell short of expectations. So, that leads us to wonder, is time running out for big tech voice assistants? Everyone seems to be struggling with them. And when we say everybody, we just mean, in general, everyone in quotes. Google expressed basically identical problems with the Google Assistant business model last month. There's an inability to monetize the simple voice commands most consumers actually want to make. While Google and Amazon hurt each other with an at-cost pricing war, Apple's smart speaker plans focused more on the bottom line. The HomePod was $350. I've got one of those. And was a lot more expensive than competition, but was probably a more sustainable business model. Apple's model didn't land with consumers, though, and the OG HomePod was killed in 2021. There's still a $99 mini version floating around, and Apple isn't given the idea of a big speaker with a comeback supposedly in the works. Siri can at least be a loss leader for iPhone sales, but Apple is hurting around for the continual revenue from ads. And I would just take a minute here to mention that Whisper AI is an open source a solution for translating speech to text, and there are a few different open source solutions. Really, it's one of those things where it's like, just like we've seen with Mastodon and SDF, something that I think, this is just me positing something or throwing out my idea here, but people are realizing that they don't want what's the best way to put it? I originally thought, oh, people going to Mastodon, they don't want a centralized thing. But talking to people on Mastodon, it's very clear that most of the Twitter people do want a centralized thing. They want somebody to shove content in their eyeballs, and they don't want to think about it. The people that aren't mindlessly, anyway, those people I don't think have assimilated yet. Sorry, I've been drinking, so I'm kind of rambling a little bit. What I'm trying to articulate is that I've noticed several instance owners surprised at the volume and the cost of running in their own instance, and I think that that's going to be kind of the shift that we see as we don't want to be centralized, so then it's like, oh, run it yourself. But then when you run it yourself, suddenly you realize, or you run into these costs. So an Echo is probably not really viable, but a smart speaker that interacts with the server that you're running at home or that you can configure to talk to a remote server to do all the thinking, that's probably more sustainable. But are you going to pay you know, a dot is what, like $30 or something. It's like, I'm not going to pay. I would pay $50 for a dot if it didn't talk to Amazon. Anyway. Oh, golly. Sorry. I kind of went all over the place there. Let's do a little bit of domestic news here before we get out of here. Jay Leno, comedian, released from hospital after being burned in a fire. Jay Leno was a comedian and a late-night talk show host for many years before he retired. He's been discharged after receiving treatment for burns suffered in his California garage. He's 72 years old, and he spent 10 days at a Los Angeles hospital after suffering injuries to his face, chest, and hands. He will continue to receive follow-up care and is very appreciative of all the well wishes he's received. Leno's doctor said he was pleased with his patient's progress. Excuse me. Dr. Peter Grossman, a burn and cosmetic surgeon, said he was optimistic with the former Tonight Show's host should make a full recovery. Hospital also released a photo of Leno smiling with hospital staff, with injuries visible to his jawline, neck, and hands. And we can see that a little bit. I'll give you a TX0 link there for it. It's TX0.org/1FJ. That's TangoXray0.org/1FoxtrotJuliet. TX0.org/1FJ. All right. Well, we've got about, I don't know, 2 minutes, maybe less, to get, yeah, we're just about 2 minutes to get the rest of the news out. So let's pick something that's a little brief. Sorry. Let's do, oh no, we're going to run out of time while I'm looking at stuff. How about this? Chris Hemsworth, then we'll do another U.S. pop culture thing. Chris Hemsworth, he's the guy that plays Thor in all the Marvel Thor movies. He also was in that Spider-something movie that was on Netflix that was pretty good. Anyway, the Thor star made the discovery that is going to take a break from acting after learning he has a heightened risk for developing Alzheimer's. The Thor star made the discovery after undergoing tests as part of his Disney Plus documentary series, Limitless. He told Vanity Fair the test confirmed his biggest fear, adding he will now be trying to take preventative steps. Alzheimer's is the most common form of dementia and can cause memory problems, confusion, and communication issues. Hemsworth learned he had two copies of the gene APOE4, one from his mother and one from his father, making him between 8 and 10 times more likely to develop the disease than those without both copies of the gene. Oh, and Iran's players declined to sing the national anthem during the World Cup. That's all the time we got today. I really appreciate you hanging out. I will be back tomorrow, and I'll just try and make sure that we've got shows for the week. So, again, thank you very much, and I'll be back tomorrow. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tube. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.